As far as the question of Maris Ayin is concerned, first of all, we'll deal with the criteria of what constitutes Maris Ayin. That is to say, things that are prohibited to do because of an appearance of being lesser, of being prohibited, which is an interesting concept. Because a person can ask, what difference does it make what the appearance is? Are we concerned about appearances? Why should we be concerned? Most people will say, why should I care about appearances? If the thing I'm doing is permitted, so it's between me and God. Why should I even be concerned about appearances? That's one question. Before we get to that, we'll just take some practical questions. In addition to this, the question is being raised that in terms of the prohibition of Maris Ayin, which is doing something which has a certain appearance, an appearance of being prohibited, in effect, one can't determine whether it's permitted to do this or not on the basis of anybody being around. That's not the factor. That is, even in your own house, if you have something, if there's a certain food which has the character of being prohibited because it appears to be like tray food, you could not partake of it even if nobody's around. So that's another question that's being raised. But to be specific, someone's raising the possibility of what's called fake pepperoni on pizza, which would appear to be meat. And the pizza is cheese. So therefore, what you're eating is something which has the appearance of meat and milk, which is prohibited. I would add, it's possible, because this bears on the whole idea of what constitutes Maris Ayin, it's possible that today this would not be a problem due to the fact that it's pretty well known that you have these non-meat, these meatless imitations. So there's a whole line of that, and it's pretty well known that you can get these so-called frankfurters that are meatless frankfurters and burgers and so on and so forth. Therefore, I would say that you don't have that problem today, even if it's public, that a person could have one of these burgers with cheese, and it would not be a violation. Now, let's deal with that first. Why is that thing? How do we determine in what situation it is a violation of Maris Ayin and in what situation it isn't? Someone has raised the idea, for example, of going into a McDonald's to get something which would be, let's say, a Coke. Would that be a prohibition or would that be permitted? What are the criteria? Also, for example, this is the famous tshuva of Moshe, that people complained, it was brought to his attention that people had sort of complained or raised a problem that after the time of candle lighting, you have usually about 18 minutes, sometimes 20, but usually 18 minutes until sunset. And the halacha is that after the time of candle lighting, and even if your wife lights the candles, it doesn't bind the husband, because the husband has not accepted Shabbos yet. So therefore, you're still permitted to do work. And Rav Feinstein would get a ride about that time, around candlelighting time. Somebody would take him and drive him to the yeshiva where he would daven, to the masifta. And people would see, people who didn't know. People thought that once you light candles, it's Shabbos already, and it appears that Rav Feinstein is driving on Shabbos. So this was brought to his attention, is this a problem of Maris Ayin? That he's giving the appearance that he's driving on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe gave the answer, the explanation, that Maris Ayin is not based on anything which creates an impression. It depends what's creating the impression. If it's based upon ignorance, so then that's not Maris Ayin. The person doesn't know the halacha. So then he could be doing perfectly permitted things. And just because he doesn't know the halacha, he thinks he's doing the wrong thing. That's not Maris Ayin. For example, it's permitted to warm up certain foods on Shabbos, on the blech, and so on and so forth. Without going into that. But if a person, is ignorant and thinks that any type of warming of food is considered to be bishul, considered to be cooking, so then that would eliminate that. I mean, it's virtually unlimited. Yeah. The kink is not based upon a person's ignorance of the halacha. What it's based upon is where a person knows the halacha and what you are doing has the appearance, in terms of the facts of what you are doing, has the appearance of being something which is prohibited. For example, let's say you, for business purposes, you have to have a lunch meeting or a dinner meeting with business associates, and it's in a tray for restaurant. And it's very important, you know, to, because that's the way business is conducted. You can't just ignore these things. I'm not merely asking, are you permitted to go to the restaurant? But that's not good enough. We're not talking about that. Let's say you'll say, well, go there and just have a glass of water and don't eat. That itself is a question of whether you could do that. But I'm saying that over here you have to eat, because if you understand the social requirements, that's an important element in business. That if you just go there and don't eat, then you're not joining together with them. You know, they want to eat together. Then you have a problem, because you can't eat the food. So let's say you would arrange with the hotel and the waiter, whatever it is, and you'll bring in, however it's secured, a kosher steak will be provided. So then you'll be sitting at the table, everybody's going to have their steaks and whatever it is, and you're going to be having your steak, and it's kosher. It's 100% kosher. Is that permitted? There, a person viewing it would assume that you're eating treif. Not because he's ignorant of the halacha, but because he's ignorant of the facts. And at face value, when you go into a treif restaurant, they serve a steak, it's a treif steak. It looks like a treif steak. Or have the same case if you want in a McDonald's, where we're talking about a burger, but you had prearranged to have a kosher burger. Same thing. Anybody walking by would see you eating. What they see is that you're eating treif. That's the appearance. So the mistake, if you want to call it a mistake, it's not really a mistake, but if you want to call it a mistake, since it's in fact you're eating a kosher burger, is not because they're ignorant of the halacha, but they're ignorant of the facts. Now the question is, what about going into the restaurant or the McDonald's, whatever case, and not having meat, but having something which is permitted, a soda, a can of Coke, you drink it from a can of Coke. Is that permitted? If it's the kind of an establishment that nobody goes there for drinks, everybody goes there to eat. So then, the act of going there is construed as an act of eating there. They don't have to actually see you eating, taking a bite. If you're there, the mere fact that you're there gives the appearance that you're purchasing the food. So that's Maariv Zayin. Let's take a case, for example, like a Chinese takeout, treif, if you want to make it even stronger. So it's a takeout, Chinese food. Nobody goes there to buy a cup. You go there for takeout. Okay? But in the course of it, I'm sure you can get a drink. Now, wouldn't you agree that if I see you standing in line, I mean, the person that knows you wouldn't suspect you, because they would assume that there's something. But we're talking about anyone, the person that doesn't know you particularly. And you're wearing a yarmulke, so therefore you're doing something which has the appearance of treif. Because why else would a person stand online? Now, even though it's possible, Maariv Zayin is not judged by the fact that it's possible to say that he just had to deliver a message to someone. You know, that doesn't matter. The fact that it's possible to say that doesn't mean that it's not Maariv Zayin, because we go by the appearance. The appearance is that you're buying food. Now, there are cases where it's different. For example, Howard Johnson's. Howard Johnson's, or like Friendly's. It's similar to Starbucks, but it's different than Starbucks. Starbucks is an easier case to deal with. Because Starbucks, it is true, I guess, they have non-kosher food there. But essentially, it's a coffee place. It's a good example of a store, that's not Maariv Zayin. Because it's sort of like these departments, you know, these supermarkets, you know, kosher and non-kosher sold there. So everybody knows they have a kosher department and they have a non-kosher department. So therefore, once it's a known thing that there's another element over there, that it's not essentially exclusively a treif, but like Starbucks, you can go there for coffee. So then you can go there, because the fact that you're there is not an appearance of wrongdoing. You see? Now, when I mention these cases of Friendly's or Howard Johnson's, those are places that are restaurants, but there are also significant ice cream places.
Oh, ice cream.
My friend lives at a trafe restaurant. People go there to eat. But also, it's significant. It's got a significant ice cream section. Like, you even have a separate ice cream menu. So the reality is, you're kosher ice cream. That's, of course, it's kosher. The reality is that people will go there just for the ice cream. So the fact that you're going there is not making a statement that you're eating trafe. You see? It could be that you're going there for the ice cream. So that's not Maariv Zayin. But the difference between that and McDonald's is, what I'm saying is that people do not go to those kinds of places for soda, even though you could get soda there. So there's sort of three different categories that we can describe. The easiest case seems to be the Starbucks, because the Starbucks is primarily for coffee and whatever. It's primarily for things that would be permitted. It's just that you could also get things that are trade, but it's primarily for that. Then you have things that are primarily for, let's say, a restaurant, but there's a significant amount of people that would, it's a known thing that people go there just for ice cream. So that's permitted too. Then you have, on the other end of the spectrum, something like a McDonald's, or a Chinese restaurant. It's conceivable a person can go to a Chinese restaurant and just get a drink, a Coke, but nobody does that. Whoever goes there is going there for the food. So that's where it's prohibited to go, because of Maariv Zayin, to go to that place, even though you're going there only for something which is mutter. For example, people ask me, on there's rest stops on the throughways when you're driving. I don't know about your area, but around New York, many of them are McDonald's. But people stop, you know, and they kosher people have their own food, and they'll sit down at the tables there and get a soda. Something that's different, because that's not a regular McDonald's. That's just the concession that they control, right? And it's a known thing that people stop there just to get a, because it's a rest stop. So that's different than the local McDonald's, which is not a rest stop, which is a restaurant, and people go there just for the food. This is something where you have to use your judgment. Like I'm saying before about the case of the pepperoni pizza with the kosher. Either it's kosher. At a time when this first came out, when they first came out with these parva dairy creamers, when these things first came out, or even like parva ice cream, so, you know, it was like a buzz in the Jewish, you know, you could have ice cream for dessert after a meat meal, and you could have coffee with the creamer. Mm. At that time, it was a problem of Maariv Zayin, because it wasn't widespread. And not everybody had it. So if you went to a bar mitzvah, or you went to some kind of a function where they had it, you have to have something that was nikar. Like, if you have the container, so then it's obvious. It's no longer Maariv Zayin. But to just have a pitcher, which is used to pour the creamer, looks like milk. So then it was a problem of Maariv Zayin. Many of the things today that are not a problem were problems at the very beginning. Well, this whole issue of these parva types of meats that we're talking about, meatless meats. Today they have virtually imitation of everything, right? You could have the imitation of bacon and imitation... What?
The imitation crab.
Imitation crab. You have all these different things to satisfy the need of the Jews to be able to feel that they too can have that. They too can have that, not the pride. And these are perfectly kosher items, because they're made usually from soy. So I would say, at the very beginning, before these things became widespread, if somebody, let's say, had just discovered it or produced it himself, and it wasn't widespread, it would be prohibited for him to do that. He couldn't eat the so-called the pepperoni pizza, because it clearly has the appearance of Isser. But today, there's no doubt in my mind that it's widespread. Everybody knows. You've got any store, health food store, but not even health food store, even regular stores, everybody knows. They know for many reasons. These things are generally healthy, they're low fat, and so on. But the whole world knows that you can get these meatless franks. So therefore, it's not Maariv Zayin, even if there are people that didn't know. Even if somebody came over to you and was surprised, saying, you're eating a cheeseburger, one of these imitation burgers with Boca burgers, whatever they're called. And you have a slice of cheese on it. So if he would come over to you and say, what are you doing? And they said, well, no, this is perfectly permitted because it's meatless. That wouldn't change it. You wouldn't have to stop eating it because of that person. That person, it's not measured by that particular person. You see, it's measured by the nature of the phenomena itself. This phenomena does not carry the appearance of Isser. This person is unaware of what's going on in the world. That's not your problem.
Perception.
It goes by the general perception. Correct. Now we're raising the question as to why we should be concerned about this. What's the reason for this? The philosophical reason for the category. In general, we kind of say that a person shouldn't be overly concerned about perception, certainly when it comes to living your life the correct way. That you should act and live in accordance with the way that's correct and truthful. And you could even go so far as to say, why should the person think I'm doing the wrong thing? But at all events, I'm not doing the wrong thing, so what's the issue of perception over here? The answer is that part of keeping the Torah, a major element of keeping the Torah, that it's not just for your own personal benefit. But every Jew has a responsibility to maintain the system and a responsibility towards other Jews. And it's based upon an awareness that whoever is Mekayim the Torah, whoever maintains the Torah and keeps the Torah, strengthens the Torah. Strengthens the Torah because other people, he serves it as an example. And you should never underestimate that. Even if it's not clear, it's not obvious to you, you don't see the immediate consequences. You don't see the immediate results that since you keep Shabbos, the next one will keep Shabbos. It doesn't work that way. It is to say that it strengthens others. Others who see, even if they don't keep it themselves, but it has an impact upon them. It may arouse some thoughts and some conscience, some guilt, whatever. But you serve as a superego. And in fact, that's why they may even try and put you down for that, because it bothers them. But the fact that it bothers them shows that it's something. You're keeping the Torah. You will encourage others to keep the Torah. Now, once we're saying that, then there must be a category of Maris Ayin. Because it's very, very clear that once you see somebody else, logically, it shouldn't work this way. Logically, you should say, what's the difference to somebody else? I mean, either he'll keep the Torah or he won't keep the Torah. What's the difference to what I do? You're right. And a purely logical person will make his decision based upon what he concludes. But the Torah is dealing with people as they are. Not everybody is on that level, and people are affected emotionally. And the fact that others do it inspires us. It must be something to it. He's doing it. And when you see somebody breaking the law, it then becomes that much easier. Let's face it, like for example, sometimes you're stuck at a red light. Simplistic case. And it's going a little bit longer and longer. And the temptation to go through the light, you're still afraid. There it's not a matter of guilt, and you just don't want to get caught. But slowly one person goes through. Then it doesn't take that much longer than the next one. And pretty soon, everybody. You see? Because the same would be true of anything. If there's a certain area where you don't have to pay the toll, you can get through without paying the toll, something of those sort. And then, but you feel it's wrong, I should pay the toll. You see others doing it, it becomes permitted. The phenomenon of the opinion, social opinion, what others think. So therefore, a person has an obligation to refrain from giving an appearance of violating the Torah. That's very significant. That is, the cases we mentioned, if you're in a treif restaurant and you're eating kosher food, but nobody can tell, no one knows that you set it up that way, so you're giving the impression that you can eat treif under certain circumstances, it's going to break down the significance of the category. Okay? So then the other issues that have been mentioned, that's you have to have a category. What's the category, though? That makes sense. The category, of course, is where we said that from a reasonable point of view, it appears, it has the perception. But if, as I said before, if it's something which is well known, like, for example, today you have these meatless meats, So then, that's it. You don't have to go beyond that. Now, interestingly enough, in the case of Rav Feinstein that I mentioned before, where the idea of driving to shul after candlelighting, where that's perfectly permitted, but others didn't know that, and they were getting the impression that he might have been driving after that time. And his answer is that's not a problem of Maariv Hayom, because there it's ignorance of the law. They don't know the halacha. Nevertheless, he said that he, from that point on, since it was causing this kind of confusion, out of his own commitment to this idea, he stopped doing it. He didn't have to stop doing it. But that's his sitkus, that's his greatness, is that he was concerned for Klal Yisrael, and he didn't want, even though halachically he wasn't doing anything wrong, lefnim mishuras hadin, beyond the law. You see? That's how important this concept is. Now, the last question that we have to deal with is, why should it be prohibited if it's in private, in the privacy of your home? Let us assume that case. Eating a food that appears to be treif, and it's not a case where it's known, well known, that you can get the imitation. A case where it would be prohibited, but you're eating it privately and nobody's around, so there's no perception there. Yet it's prohibited. The answer is that even in a situation where there's no danger of a perception, that is to say, you're completely private, there's no one around, and nobody will be hurt by this. You won't be hurt because you know that the food is kosher. Others will not be hurt because there are no others. This too is prohibited, but the answer cannot be found in this case in terms of the philosophy. There are certain cases where a particular result, well, you could trace it back to an understanding of the philosophy. Here you cannot. Here you have to understand that there's a difference between the philosophy behind the mitzvah and the very halachic structure of the mitzvah itself. In this case, I will agree that there's a gap, but that's the way it was structured. The way the halacha was structured is to create a prohibition upon the deed. Therefore, any deed which has the characteristic of being appearance of Isser defines that becomes Isser to you. That itself becomes an entity of Isser, okay? So you can't partake of that, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Even in circumstances where it will not produce the result that you are concerned about, it doesn't matter. You have many cases like that in halacha. This is an extremely important point. So give me another illustration of a case in halacha where the particular halacha in question will not be in line with the underlying reason for the prohibition. The classic example, I can't say a classic example, in my opinion, would be the many of the rabbinic decrees, prohibitions pertaining to, say, Shabbos. But there's other areas as well, where, for example, they prohibited riding a horse on Shabbos. It's a prohibition to ride a horse. What is the reason? Why did they provide riding a horse? Riding a horse is not one of the 39 forms of malacha, of work, that's prohibited on Shabbos. However, it's a decree to prevent a person from grabbing a branch off of a tree and using it as a whip to hit the horse. That's the reason for it. That would be a biblical prohibition. To pull a branch off of a tree would be a biblical prohibition. So it's a protective device. The question would arise, though, well, first of all, Bisman Hazeh, in this day and age, people don't do it because it's very easy. Whoever goes riding has whatever he needs. If he needs a whip, he takes it with him. But even so, forget about that. That's a different type of an issue. You could say that, no, maybe he would forget his whip and he would still need one, whatever the case. So one can argue that is sufficient possibility of that. But the question would be, what about riding a horse through the desert where there are no trees? Or what about riding a horse in an indoor armory where there are no trees, where the entire possibility does not exist? What's the halacha? The halacha is that it's still aser. So the person can ask the question, if the purpose of prohibiting it, if the reason for the violation is that it will lead you to pull a branch, it doesn't follow logically that it should be prohibited in a place where there are no branches. The answer to that would be that there is a halachic structure and a philosophical basis. The philosophical basis is that danger. That danger must be present. However, when they formulated it halachically, the nature of the formulation was to prohibit the activity of riding the horse itself. That's it. Now it becomes an issur, irrespective of the situation. In much the same way, you'll have this in any legal system. You can make a case going through a red light. Going through a red light is also prohibited for a reason. The reason is that two cars will crash. Now, what about if it's 3 in the morning and it's one of these areas where there's a intersection and you can see for miles in every direction. And there's no cars. You have binoculars. It's not, you can establish that there are no cars for at least 5 miles in every direction and the light is red. And you go through the light. And unbeknownst to you, there was a cop hiding in the bushes. And we'll give you a ticket. You say, what's the purpose of the prohibition of going through red light? It's in to prevent a crash with another car. There's no cars. In this situation, there was no need for it. No judge in the world is going to let you off on that basis, unless they have some kind of mercy for you. But you ask, what's the law? That's the law. You're right. There's the reason is to regulate traffic. There shouldn't be accidents. That's the reason. But the law is that you can't go through a red light, irrespective of the circumstances. All right, so that would be the answer to the question over here. With regard to Maris Ayin, it's irrespective of the circumstances. It creates the prohibition in doing the activity which appears to be usur. That's all. If the activity has the appearance in and of itself, then I don't care about the circumstances, whether there'll be a perception or whether there won't be a perception. It's in the activity.